Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
Jane, this is gonna be the easiest segment for me ever when it comes to remembering the name of the guests, because this is the Paul O'Sullivan Band, and every member of the band is named Paul O'Sullivan, and we have two Paul O'Sullivans on the line with us. I believe we have Baltimore Paul O'Sullivan and Pennsylvania Paul O'Sullivan. Paul O'Sullivan, nice. And Paul O'Sullivan, did I get that right? Just checking
you
in
did,
this afternoon.
Yeah.
How are you guys?
Good afternoon, Mark. Great to be with you.
Yay! Great to be with you guys. So I saw this story on CBS Sunday Morning last week, and I thought it was fantastic. Now, that was a cover, obviously, of Old Town Road that they did. There's some originals, too. But we'll have to go one at a time, and I don't know if I identified the voices. We'll start with Baltimore, Paul. You want to kind of tell us how this all came together with you guys around the planet? Everyone named Paul O'Sullivan, right?
Yeah. So actually, a friend of mine met his, like, name twin on Facebook, and they had lunch together in Washington, D.C. And when he posted the picture, I was like, wow, that's really cool. So it kind of got the wheel spinning in my mind. And I'm like, well, I wonder what my name twins are up to. So one night I was just kind of indiscriminately adding as many Paul O'Sullivans as I could on Facebook. Sadly, not all of them accepted my friend request. But of the ones who did, you know, it's funny because their stuff starts showing up in your feed and you kind of get to know them. And I'm like, this is so weird. We're all musicians. You know, it kind of felt like the universe was like daring me to make something of all this. So I don't back down from a challenge. So I'm like, let's do it. Let's make the Paul O'Sullivan Band. And that's what we did.
That's
so
amazing.
Pennsylvania Paul O'Sullivan, you're on percussion, right? So how did this draw you in? And are you surprised that it's taken off in the way that it has?
So I was drawn in because Baltimore Paul is really a fantastic guy. And I just wanted to be his friend. I just thought the idea was great and that we should participate in things that make us smile. And so that's how I was drawn in. I'm really the only of the three of us. The other three are the real incredible music talents. I learned piano when I was a kid and I left it. And when I met Paul, he said, you know, I used to be a music teacher. Why don't you get back into music? So they've taken me under their wing, and I'm doing my best through percussion, and we're going to lead into piano and some other instruments to do my best to contribute in a productive way in the band. But the music is just really toe-tapping, and it just makes you smile.
That's awesome.
What a great story. Baltimore Paul, tell us about the other two members, because you have international members as well. What is it, Rotterdam and London?
Yeah, Rotterdam and Manchester. So actually, the very first two members were obviously myself and Manchester Paul. He's the bass player, and we kind of refer to him as like the chief resident musician. He's very like technically proficient, and he actually toured like back in the 80s and 90s, was like a professional musician in his own right. And then Rotterdam Paul, it's funny. We are very much like on the same wavelength. Like, you know, I told him the idea, and like the very next day he sent me an entire Word document of song lyrics. And I'm like, this is fantastic, because I was having like writer's block with song lyrics. And then he just hits me with this entire document. And I'm like, this is perfect. I can put the music straight to this and just kind of go from there. And we kind of developed this assembly line process that works really well for us. And that's how we kind of create our music, and we just stick with what works and, you know, follow the formula. And so far it's turned out pretty well for us. So
have you ever
I would
heard...
say, so how did, go ahead, Jane.
Yeah, no, have you ever heard of another band that has members that have all the same name? I mean, that has to be unique.
No, I haven't. Yeah, not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
That's great.
We call ourselves Doppelnamers.
Okay,
like
that's
good. Doppelganger Week. Do you remember that trend a few, like with like celebrity lookalikes, the Doppelgangers?
Oh, yeah.
But we just kind of like morphed it into Doppelnamers because we're all like name twins with each other. Just kind of a cute kind of play on words.
Oh, I think it's a great
marketing. Have you ever, this has all been done virtually though. So you guys has anyone met in person? Have you ever gotten together in person? It's all just on Zoom and stuff like that.
Well, for many years it was, because we've known each other for a while. It's kind of been like a secret club.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I had a few like health issues that I had to get through. Because the reason I held it off for so long was because I didn't want to go public until we had a music video made. But unfortunately, I fell in like some hard times with health issues. But these guys were very much my support system. And it's just wild because now in 2021 now, but last year was when we really kind of took off, because in February we had released a single and a music video. And it was wild because, like, we got, like, 20,000 views in the first week or two. We got, like, a licensing deal from this company out of New York City, which we took and then eventually terminated because we kind of got put on the back burner because of the pandemic. You know, the whole, like, music industry had shut down. And then we were kind of independent again. So we're like, why don't we just record this album of cover songs and just kind of keep things lighthearted, because it's been pretty heavy lately, you know. So we just wanted to do something fun like that. But yeah, we've known each other for a while, believe it or not. And it's just so nice that we're, you know, things are really coming to fruition right now for the band. And of all the years, you know, 2020 was when we made our debut. And in a weird way, it kind of works because, you know, remote collaboration is like our bread and butter. So it wasn't much of a change for us when the lockdowns really went into, you know, effect. So
that's interesting. Yeah. So I was assuming that maybe you got together during the pandemic, but it happened before that. Go ahead, Paul O'Sullivan.
Yeah, part of our album includes a session that Baltimore Paul came out and visited me. It was a surprise visit that my fiance set up. And so, yeah, there's two of us who have met face-to-face for the first time. When he first contacted me, I lived in California, and I moved to Pennsylvania. So he came up from Baltimore, surprised me, and it was like a homecoming. It was like just great to see him, and we just really got along great.
And now,
are you guys all similar ages, or is there a difference in ages as well?
Well, that's the great thing about this. So, like, I'm like, as the creator, I'm the millennial, which is funny. And we have a Generation X, and then we have two baby boomers. So it's like kind of cross generational and cross geographic. So, yeah, we're like the international station of music.
I hear a little. We played the original there. I hear a little Blink 182. Is that my imaginational influence there, or what would you say?
Yeah, they were my favorite band as a teenager. Absolutely. I've seen them multiple times in concert. So
that's
good call on that one.
Will you guys ever do a concert?
I mean, that's kind of honestly, like, you know, in my dream of dreams would be to do like a limited edition thing where we just do a 4-city kind of tour in each person's respective home region. I just think that would be really cool. So
that's great.
Yeah, my dream is the Paul O'Sullivan Orchestra, by the way. I want a big horn section of Paul O'Sullivan's up there.
Oh, that would be awesome. I love that idea.
That's a
because
great
I'm
idea.
A big horns guy. I think we could probably expand the Paul O'Sullivan's. You know, you come here, we got some great venues here in St. Louis that hopefully will be open back up. And I'll find you some Paul O'Sullivan horn section guys to play with you. Have you guys ever thought if you had, you know, what the possibility, this is a great story and everything, but what would the possibilities have been if your last name was McCartney? You ever think about that? You could have had a different bass player at that point, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah. We kind of joke about that sometimes because, like, the relationship that I have with Rotterdam Paul, it's very, like, kind of like Elton John and was it Bernie Taupin?
Bernie Taupin,
the way that the way that they work. But we also, at times, it also feels kind of like a Lennon McCartney one, and we kind of joke, like, well, which one's Paul? Because we're both Paul. I mean, all four of us are Paul. So it's kind of just like, you know, this comedy of errors, if you will, but
let's admit,
I mean, that would
Ringo Starr, the group. Come on.
Yeah.
You got to have Ringo. You got to have Ringo. Sullivan and Paul O'Sullivan. Hopefully at some point I'll get to chat with the other two, but I just love this story, and we need stories like this, and we need music,
Mark,
I think, you know.
For you.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Is this, wait, just a point of a clarification, is this Paul O'Sullivan or Paul O'Sullivan?
Yeah. We crowdsource our ideas, so we want to know, Mark, what would you like to hear us perform?
Well, I'm a big Springsteen guy, so I'd probably have to maybe see if you can do a cover of Atlantic City or something, like something cool, maybe something that's unique. So I would kind of, Vampire Weekend is one of my favorite bands, and they did a cover of I'm Going Down from Born in the USA, and that was a unique one because not a lot of people cover that. So you guys may look for maybe a different type of Springsteen song and maybe try to cover that.
I have an idea.
If people want to go to our Facebook page or our Instagram page, they can go ahead and do requests. Let us know what they'd like to hear.
Well, we already have a request now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's see yours. What about a cover for some Traveling Wilburys? I love the Traveling Wilburys. They're very unique.
It's a good one too. Yeah.
Could be and they're right kind of like an all star band too.
Yeah.
That is an all star band. Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on KMOX in St. Louis, and I really appreciate it. I love this story. I think it's cool how you guys have gotten together, created music, and become friends, maybe, over and above everything else. So, Paul and Paul, thank you so much. Keep in touch. Come to St. Louis. If you cover that Springsteen song, you better get me the MP3. We're going to feature it here on KMOX. We're back with more in a moment, coming up next.
But here's my number, so call me maybe. All the other girls try to chase me, but here's my number, so call me maybe.
Now, back to Mark Reardon on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Oh, Dave Klein, nice, pulling up a little Cadillac Ranch there for a bump. Outstanding, 320. Jane, I was listening to KMOX this morning, and you know how Kevin Killeen does a whole nother story. He's mastered that feature, and he does a great job with those. And this one I thought was really good for a couple of different reasons. One, as someone who has interviewed people on many occasions, as you know, when you're talking to someone, especially a child, they give you like one or two word answers. So, who can I use? Dave, who can I use as an example in the other direction? I can ask one question. Gentry Trotter's like this, right?
Oh, he's the first one that came to my mind, Mark.
I can ask Gentry a question. I can walk away from the microphone and then come back like 3-4 minutes later. Who else? We had someone else on recently. Senator Blunt's pretty good at filibustering, I will tell you that. And there's a few others where, it just goes on and on. So it's the opposite end of the spectrum with kids. But this is a great story outside of that, but I have a lot of respect for Kevin for firing off multiple questions. But check out the story first and foremost.
It began on a hot Saturday this past August in North St. Louis. 11-year-old Jaden Groves was with his family in the Hyde Park neighborhood, a family gathering, when he looked around and noticed his 22-month-old toddler brother, Josiah, was missing.
We was having a family car wash. I noticed that he was gone, so I know that he liked to play in water and swim, so I went over to the water and I saw him.
Now you had to run to the nearby pond at Hyde Park?
Yes.
What were you thinking as you were running over there?
I was like, I hope he don't be in here. I was like, I hope he don't be in this water.
Had he been in the Hyde Park pond before?
No, that was his first time.
So what made you think that he might be in the pond of all places?
Because he like swimming. He like act like he's swimming when he at home in the tub, and I just knew.
Do you ever wonder what led you to go to the pond?
Sometimes.
Do you ever think like God or an angel or something, your brother calling out to you? What made you go to the pond and not someplace else?
I really don't know.
But once you got there, what did you see?
I saw my brother laying face down, floating.
Oh, boy, that must have been the worst feeling ever.
Yeah.
So what did you do?
I got in there and I grabbed him out.
Was the water cold and deep, or what was it like in that pool?
Like 3 feet.
So did you have to swim or did you walk over to him?
He was like right by the edge.
So you got in the water, and then what happened?
Yeah, I put like 1 foot in, and I grabbed him out.
When you first got him out and you had him on the grass, did you talk to him or slap him or try to wake him up?
No.
Could you tell that he was in trouble?
Yeah, his face was like pale. I ran over to my family then. That's when my auntie, she started doing CPR on my older cousin.
And that didn't work?
No, so I went before they started doing it, they would, like, call the police, and I just ran to the fire department.
How far was that to run?
It was not that far. It was, like, down the street.
And they were able to save his life?
Yes.
You got this award today because, really, if it wasn't for you, your brother would be dead.
Uh-huh.
How do you think about that?
I think about, like, it's crazy. I never knew this would happen.
How old is your brother now?
2.
Is that him there?
Yeah, Josiah. Come here.
And do you ever tell him, hey, I saved your life, let me have the last piece of cake or anything like that?
No.
How do you think this will affect your relationship as you grow up?
It's going to have a strong relationship.
Have you ever heard the old Chinese proverb that if you save someone's life, you're responsible for their life for the rest of your life?
No, I never heard that.
That's 11-year-old Jaden Groves, who saved his brother Josiah's life. With a whole nother story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
He tried to, spiritually so inspire great. Him. He tried to Chinese proverb inspire him, and he did a great job. I think Kevin's going to come in and talk about that. But I love that story, and I just love the fact that he fired off so many Kevin Killeen questions to the poor 11-year-old. I don't know what was more traumatic, saving his brother or being interviewed by Kevin Killeen. That's actually a valid question, isn't it?
Well, the Chinese proverb, I mean, you could throw that to an adult would look at you sideways. So
I think they would for sure. Hey, I think Dan O'Neill is going to join us at the bottom of the hour and talk a little bit about Hank Aaron. He's got a great story to share. We also have, we do number one songs. I got a good pick for you here this afternoon. We're going to do my feature as well, where I'm going to take a selection every week. And then I have audio cut of the day as well. Hey, Jane, have you seen all of the memes that have been created from Bernie's mittens?
Oh, my God. No, and I've been retweeting all of them because I love them. And, I mean, the Blues really came through huge. They were the best one as far as I was concerned when they put him in the stands.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Go to the St. Louis Blues Twitter feed, their official Twitter feed. So amazing. I mean, people putting him at the Last Supper. People putting him in movies. I put him in front of Mercy Hospital so he could investigate how often Paige is working his side job. People had him... in front of their houses. People had them. I mean, it's been great. I've been retweeting a bunch of them because I think it's hilarious.
Well, every once in a while, Carol talked about this yesterday. It wasn't only the mittens. It was that Bernie had the mittens on. He was sitting with the crossed arms and he looked crabby, even though he had a face mask on. You could tell he was scowling, right? There's no smile behind
that mask. He's got permanent scowl face. I mean, that's how he is. And then he had the big coat on because, I mean, he knows how to keep warm. And he is... And you know that he loves it. He loves it because it's like a millennial thing, memes. He loves it. He's the subject of that. I think it's hilarious. And you know what? It made people laugh, which was nice.
You know what else made people laugh today, Jane? Have you heard your new Majority Leader Chuck Schumer on the floor of the United States Senate? Have you heard this yet?
Yeah, I'm cringing.
Should we just say this would be if you have kids in the car? This is, I love saying this because then people will listen, right? If you have kids in the car, this is the PG-13 rated portion of the program. We're not going to get fined by
Turn
the FCC. I mean, it was Chuck Schumer. It was Chuck Schumer that said it. It wasn't me that said it, but here's what he said on the floor of the United States Senate just a few hours ago.
Make no mistake, there will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the insurrection against the United States.
Yeah. He incited the erection. James,
he's trying to sort of cover. That was not, I mean, yeah. No, that's a cringe. But it is funny. I mean, you have to laugh. You have to laugh at that because the laws of the universe require it.
Incited the erection.
Absolutely. Yeah, there you go. Now, I do have to air this, Dave. Let's play the new head football coach for the Detroit Lions. This is a guy named Dan Campbell, and you're a football fan. By the way, I'm going to talk a little bit about the NFL playoffs in the next hour. You got any, thoughts about this weekend? You love Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes. This is going to be the State Farm Bowl, isn't it? It's got to work out that way for the country, Jane.
I mean, it could be. Yeah, it could be. But, I love underdogs.
Come on, we need that. All right, Dan Campbell is the new head football coach of one of the worst franchises in the NFL. Let's face it, Detroit has really, really struggled in the NFL over the years. It seems like whenever they hire a head coach, it doesn't work, right? And Matt Stafford, decent quarterback, could never get that team moving in the right direction in the division. They got the Packers and the Vikings and even sometimes the Bears. But here, I like this guy. You know, because when you hear coaches over the years, or even players, they basically get media coached. They go to school. They talk all the same way. You know, what do you think about this weekend, coach? Well, we just got to, you know, we think about this like any other game, which is always bull crap. You know that, right? All right, so here's Dan Campbell. Now, ride with it here because it really comes through at the end. Here he is being asked about his mission as the new head coach of the Detroit Lions.
This place has been kicked, it's been battered, it's been bruised, and I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't, but none of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that, so excuse my language. Here's what I do know is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city, all right? And the city's been down, and it found a way to get up. All right, it's found a way to overcome adversity. All right, and so this team's going to be built on. We're going to kick you in the teeth. All right, and when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right, and we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right, and on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing.
You know, there's more to that too, because
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. He apparently he's like the dude. He looks a little like Jeff Bridges, or I guess maybe he fancies himself. So he calls himself the dude to a certain extent. There were some Big Lebowski references in there as well. So I love it when you got a coach like that, like Dan Campbell. And it's funny because I know the NFL pretty well. He's a former player. I did not realize that, you know, this was a guy that was considered as someone that would be a head coach in the National Football League. Jane, hang on. We'll come back. Dan O'Neill is going to share some stories about Hank Aaron. We have our number one songs this day in history. I have my musical selection of the week and an audio cut of the day, all still to come on KMOX. Hang in there.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Well, Jane, I was very sad earlier this week when we learned that Don Sutton had passed away. We're losing a lot of baseball legends, and we lost another one today in Henry Aaron. And Dan O'Neill, longtime sports reporter here in St. Louis, is with us. He was shooting me a text earlier. He's got a couple of good stories to tell about Hank Aaron. How are you, Dan? Good afternoon.
I'm good, Mark. Always good to talk to you, buddy.
Well, I have a message out to my former neighbor, the former commissioner of baseball, Bud Selig, but his daughter has not answered it yet because I want to get him on. But I'm settling for you, Dan. So until Bud calls me back, we're going to have Dan O'Neill on. But you shot me this message, and it was a great story about how many home runs Hank Aaron has actually hit.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's been lost in the shuffle probably over the years, but you know, in 1965, on a Wednesday night at the original Busch Stadium, at Grand and Dodier, that is, the Cardinals were playing the Milwaukee Braves. Kurt Simmons was a Cardinals pitcher at the time. Kurt was the epitome of a crafty left-hander. And, you know, he's actually the guy, Mike Shannon uses a phrase often to say, where he says, you know, trying to sneak a fastball by this guy is like trying to try throwing a fastball to this guy is like trying to sneak the sun past the rooster. Well, Simmons is the one who originally coined that phrase, talking about Henry Aaron. You know, maybe the greatest fastball hitter of all time. So he made Aaron crazy by throwing him nothing but off-speed pitches, one slower than the next. And in the eighth inning of this game, tied 3-3. Aaron came to the plate, and Simmons threw him what amounted to a blooper pitch. It was so slow. And Aaron just couldn't help himself, stepped out and hit it up onto the right field pavilion roof at the stadium for a home run. But the home plate umpire, Chris Pelakoutis, called him out for stepping out of the batter's box to do it. So home run didn't count. Aaron was furious.
What does that mean, Dan? When you say so, describe how he did that a little bit, and how was that the right call?
The pitch, Yeah, well, I wasn't there, but you know, the pitch was so slow and outside, and Aaron had waited and waited, and finally he stepped across the plate to reach it and hit it up onto the roof in right field. He was furious about it because he insisted that he had done the exact same thing the previous at bat when he popped out, and Polakoutis didn't say anything about it. So he was furious about it, but I remember afterwards Tim McCarver, the Cardinal catcher at the time, said that he did do it and that he made the right call. You know, and then another interesting thing is that in the on-deck circle was Joe Torre, who was batting behind Aaron that night.
Interesting.
That's crazy. So hang on a second here, because I was going to ask you something, and then I was just told in my ear that we have Mike Shannon on the line too, so I'm glad that you shared that story, Mr.
Well,
Dan O'Neill.
Yeah, he can verify it. But the Cardinals actually lost the game on a ninth inning home run that also was controversial. Maybe you can ask Mike about that if he remembers it. But they ruled that it hit off the top of the wall and went into the stands, but Kirk Flood, the center fielder, insisted it hit off the wall and came back onto the field. And so it was a crazy game way back in 1965, but it's a part of Henry Aaron's history, and it's really sad to see him go. He's, I think, one of the really special players in baseball history.
Absolutely. Well, Dan, thank you so much for sharing that story. I wasn't sure if we were going to get Mike on the line here this afternoon, and I'm glad that we did. Mr. Shannon, how are you? Happy New Year. I don't know if you remember that story that Dan was sharing, but I'm sure you have plenty of your own about Henry Aaron.
Well, Henry Aaron is one of the great players of all time. There's no doubt about it. Him and Hank, they gave him the right name. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he hit some balls that they're still going, line drives. You know, he hit mostly line drives, but he was something else. He was really an amazing player, really was.
And, Mike, you know, the one thing that I've heard from, and I spent, as you know, I spent many years in Milwaukee, and I knew a lot of people that were close with Hank, but he always had a reputation of being an outstanding human being as well.
Well, you know, I can remember one time he came out. I was standing over at third base, and he said, "Who's pitching today?" And I said, "Well, why is that, Henry?" He said, he had trouble hitting Simmons, Kurt Simmons, because he threw him slop sliders up, and then he did little pop flies about 6-8 feet over here. Catcher wouldn't even take his mask off sometimes. It was hilarious, you know, for such a great player, he'd make outs like that. But He said, "Who's pitching?" I said, "Well, Kurt Simmons is pitching." He said, "Man, he sure makes you put in a hard day's work." I said, "Well, Henry, I have to do that every time I come out here." He moved away like it was a poisonous snake. he was an amazing guy. I mean, it was so natural to him, you know.
But Dan reminded me. When Mike, when Barry Bonds hit his home run, his 756, the steroid lace home run, there was a message on the scoreboard from Henry Aaron that said, "I would like to offer my congratulations." And he went on and said, "My hope today, as it was on that April evening in 1974, is that the achievement of this record will inspire others to chase their own dreams." And that probably happened, even though that's a bit tarnished, that record from Barry Bonds. But what an amazing history for Henry Aaron in Major League Baseball and beyond his playing days as well.
Yeah, you know, the way he handled the pressure of being black was phenomenal, okay? And, you know, he was a really great friend of Bud Selig, the commissioner of baseball. They were inseparable, those two. And they had a lot of similarities in their life. And one of them was contact of people that were biased, you know, towards blacks. And Henry was a great, great student of that. He really was.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get Bud on to talk about it because I know how close they were, and Wendy and Laurel as well, his daughter and son-in-law. Well, Mike, thank you so much. I know that you're busy, and we're hopefully getting ready for some baseball season, but thanks for sharing your thoughts this afternoon on KMOX. Happy New Year, and I hope we get baseball on the air very, very soon.
It's coming for sure.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. 342. I mean, the memories and the, you know, one of the things, and this is what I knew about Bud, because he, you know, Bud took a, a lot of criticism when he was commissioner, but his passion, Jane, for the game, and if you would get with him, and I was very fortunate to know the commish pretty well, but if you just want to talk about baseball, and you knew so much about St. Louis, and you knew so much about the Cardinals, and he was such a big radio fan as well, so I hope I can get him on next week to talk about Hank Aaron, because he would not be able to stop. I think he has so many stories, but on a day like this, it might be too emotional. Well, it might be too emotional for him, because they were very, very close. All right, Dave Klein, let's do I started a new feature a couple of weeks ago with my selection for the week, and we'll do that after we do number one song. So let's see what we have. Number one songs this day in history.
Whiplash propelled us into a time warp, Captain. Backward.
This is a Flashback Friday. Flashback. Number one songs of the 70s to today.
They don't make music like that anymore.
With Mark Rudin on KMOX.
My sweet Lord.
This one is Hanging Tough. I kind of took a peek ahead. I think it's about to change in the next couple of weeks, but it was number one in 1971, Jane George Harrison. One Beatle with My Sweet Lord, and then you fast forward to 1981, and you got another Beatle, and one that unfortunately lost his life. John Lennon was starting over. ...1991, as we fast forward 10 years, 40 years ago, I'm sorry, 30 years ago, Janet Jackson was number one with Love Will Never Do.
That's a good one.
I don't know if that's like my favorite Janet Jackson song.
It was
Destiny's Child
like
in 2001 with Independent Woman. Women? Women, not woman. It's not just one independent woman.
That's
it's
right.
Independent women. And then we got Bruno Mars with Grenade, number one in 2011.
I catch a grenade for you.
It was a great song.
Always
I think he was already
Bruno
on the scene,
Mars.
But
always more Bruno Mars in life. That's
he's
a life
still
lesson.
One of those guys I have to see. And this song, apparently, this song's going to be number one for forever. 24K Golden with Mood.
Well,
some of these songs
mood.
Just. Yeah.
Don't go
and
away.
This one's okay. You know, it's okay.
Fine.
But
does
it have to be number one for 2 months? There you go, number one songs this day in history. So I started this a few weeks ago, and every once in a while I'm going to pick a new song. I've picked a couple in the past couple of weeks, Jake Bugg and AWOL Nation and Group Love. But today, something a little different. Dave, roll it.
And now, Mark's new music discovery of the week.
Wow, what a totally amazing, excellent discovery.
I was born by the river.
I'm cheating. I'm going to cheat today, Jane, because I love Sam Cooke so much. Every once in a while I'll get into this mode and I just listen to Sam Cooke, and his voice is just amazing, and he was taken
amazing.
You know, from this planet. He was murdered. His story is fascinating, and I think Hollywood is way overdue on a biopic. If I win the Powerball, and let's face it, I probably will, or the Mega Millions, I'm gonna make a Sam Cooke biopic. And you think I'm joking, but if I could ever do that, I would really, really want to do it. Sam Cooke would have turned 90 years old today.
Yes.
It really does. He would have turned 90 years old today, Sam Cooke. And I'm going to pick this as my selection of the week. Do yourself a favor. Put a little Sam Cooke on the turntable or the, you know, the MP3 player tonight. Jane, have a great weekend. Audio cut of the day is coming up next on KMOX.
But I know a change going to come.
All right, we have an audio cut of the day coming up here, but I wanted to squeeze something in with my golf coach, who has a lot of patience because he's my golf coach, Adam Betts from Family Golf and Learning in Kirkwood. And I had a lesson this morning, and I think I'm hopeless, Adam Betts. What do you think? I don't know. I thought it was improving, then he had to change my swing, and I'm a mess right now. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me. Your golf game's in transition. We're still working. We got all off season to work on it. Now with all the indoor opportunities to learn and practice. So we got you covered. We'll be all right come spring.
Dude, After we left today, I got an invite from my friend Jeff, and I'm very excited to go down and play Payne's Valley and some of the other courses mid-April. So that's our target.
Oh, incredible.
In the meantime, for people who have never been to Family Golf, it's a great, great place, but it just got better because it's a little frustrating because of the pandemic, but Adam really did something special with Family Golf and Learning with an indoor facility. You kind of can't have a grand opening because of COVID, but you're doing something special on Monday. Give us the details.
Yeah, so first and foremost, we're an existing driving range in nine-hole par three course. We've, in the last 2.5 years, made a lot of improvements on the driving range, the golf course. But the pinnacle, all those improvements are our new clubhouse with indoor TrackMan simulators, golf fitness. We have a gym here. We have a new lounge and bar area. We have an indoor practice room with a green inside. Just a lot of cool and exciting things going on. During the pandemic, you know, we wanted to have a grand opening and have a whole big party and everybody here, but the pandemic, it hasn't been possible, you know, so we decided to do a virtual Facebook Live closest to the pin contest. We're hosting it here on site. We want everybody to log in and watch it virtually. But we have some St. Louis celebrities coming in. We have Ozzy and Chris Pronger and Darren Pang and Carolyn Kendall Betts and Kalia Collier coming in. We're going to do a closest to the pin contest and have a whole bunch of fun while we show up the new facility.
Carolyn Kendall Betts, who's that? Can you tell me who that is? Because I recognize the name, but I'm not certain. Is she bringing a soccer team into town or something like that?
Something like that. I've heard something about that, and I've heard her name in the news here and there. But, no, my wife's doing a great job. I couldn't be more proud of her and her team over at St. Louis City SC.
Well, dude, I think the place looks great. The TrackMan is humbling because it shows that my swing speed is approximately 13 miles per hour. Have fun on Monday. Get out and see Family Golf, 1 o'clock on Family Golf and Learning on the Facebook page. Check it out Monday, and we'll talk soon, Adam Betts.
All right, Mark. Thanks for all your support, and have a great weekend.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
And it is sponsored by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. The memes are epic. Of the mittens with Bernie, he was on Seth Meyers talking about it last night, Bernie Sanders.
Were you aware that this photo immediately sort of became the meme of the day?
Not at all. I was just sitting there trying to keep warm, trying to pay attention to what was going on.
I appreciate that you're not a politician who uses memes, but you became one. I mean, does your staff show them to you? Here you are with the Sex and the City girls.
Yeah, I've seen them.
The other question.
What was really nice, Seth, is the woman who made the mittens lives in Essex Junction, Vermont. She is a school teacher and is a very, very nice person. And she has been somewhat overwhelmed by the kind of attention that is being shown to her mittens.
She struck me as the kind of supporter who would make Bernie Sanders mittens, because I read her saying that a lot of people have reached out asking for the mittens, and she basically said, look, I work, I'm a mother, I don't have time to make you mittens. And I thought that is very in line with what I expect of you as well, all business. And I promise to get to a substantive discussion here. I don't want to waste all the time talking about memes. But the other question, of course, is people were asking what you were carrying. What was your manila envelope?
I'd love to tell you, Seth, it's top secret.
I think my favorite meme, and Dave Klein, you just sent it to me. There have been so many of these that have been created. People have far too much time on their hands, but I guess it's a pandemic. He is featured on the cover of Fleetwood Mac Rumors with Mick Fleetwood, and that one looks fantastic. So there you go, your audio cut of the day for this afternoon. Dave, can we squeeze in Chuck Schumer just as we go out here?
I see no reason why not to.
I don't see a reason why not. The new Senate Majority Leader, proud moment on the Senate floor this morning. Here you go, Chuck Schumer.
Make no mistake, there will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the insurrection against the United States.
Oh, I'll never forget that one. There you go. Audio cuts of the day on KMOX. Total Information PM is coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.